Mic check. 1, 2. 2, 2. Hey, hey. We'll be starting in a couple of minutes, everybody. If the councillors, GNSO and CCNSO councillors, could take their seats at the table, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the CCNSO, GNSO Joint Council lunch meeting. Stefan is still eating, so I've undertaken to start us going. We have a number of items on our agenda. Those of you who were with us in Cartagena will recall that we talked about at this meeting perhaps taking a short amount of time just to explain to the GNSO how the CCNSO Council works, and for the GNSO to explain to the CCNSO how the Council works. So we just thought that might be quite useful, because certainly from a CC point of view, there are bits of the GNSO structure that we're perhaps not as clear on as it might be useful to be. So I'm going to start just by doing a very brief overview of the way the CCs work, and most of you will probably know this already, but it's worth doing. So the CCNSO is obviously comprised of CCTLD managers, and we have currently 113 members. We have a council which is three members from each of the five regions. And three nominees from the nominating committee. And that council also has liaisons from the regional organisation, so Centre, APTLD, LACTLD, and so on. And we also have a liaison from the ALAC, and as you all know, a liaison from the GNSO. The CCNSO Council works in a slightly different way to the GNSO does, and we simply do the formal decisions that the members have made. So what we do is, we have at each ICANN meeting, we have a 2-day members meeting, and we discuss specific topics, and we take consensus in the room on stuff from the members. And then that feeds into what is a very short council, usually a very short council meeting at the end of the second day. It usually doesn't last more than an hour. And we simply go through the administrative things that we need to go through, and then pass, if necessary, pass resolutions on stuff like that, on stuff that's come up in the members' meeting. So to take a really specific example, our delegation and redelegation working group has produced a final report. One of those recommendations from that final report is that we set up a framework of interpretation working group to assist the board and the staff in interpreting GAC principles and 1591. That will be discussed by the members tomorrow or Wednesday. And if we get consensus, the council will simply pass the resolution to form that working group. In a nutshell, that's it. We're lucky to some extent that we're a single body. We generally tend to agree on stuff, in the sense that we're all CCTLD managers, so we're all coming from pretty much the same place. Whilst we might argue about, if we're discussing financial contributions, for example, we might argue about methodologies or the way that would be assessed and so on, but on fundamental principles, we tend to be all coming from the same place. And that makes, for us, that makes the day-to-day work of the CCNSO reasonably smooth going, because we don't have massively competing interests. So I think that's pretty much covers all I really wanted to say about the structure of the CCNSO. Stefan, are you going to take the... Sorry, do you want me to waffle a bit?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I think this is very useful. I'll just explain the structure of the GNSO Council, and I encourage any councillors who want to jump in and explain anything specific they want to about their own groups. Can I just go?
Can we ask some questions about
that might be useful, actually.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Of course. Go ahead. Ask any questions you like.
How do you elect your councillors?
It's region by region. So where there's a vacancy, I'll start again. Councillors are elected for a 3-year term. And then they can stand again. We don't actually have, currently we don't have term limits, so you can carry on if you've got the support of your region. So the way it works is that if you're in a particular region, you can stand for the council. An election takes place in that region in the event that there is more than one candidate.
And that has happened, and we have an election process online voting.
Okay.
Any other questions for the CCNSO? Okay, so Bill,
my mouthful, so it's a little bit difficult. Bill Drake from the NCUC. I just have a really naive question, because I don't know how your dialogues go. In GNSO, we have rightist debate because we have representatives from all these different segments of industry, plus the non-commercial actors, and we have different kinds of perspectives, et cetera, on almost everything. You were saying, well, we have kind of a more, you know, parallel structures and not really competing interests, et cetera. How do you go about making sure that the perspectives of different industry segments or non-commercial actors, et cetera, get brought into the discussion, given the way your membership is composed and so on?
That's a really good question, Bill. Historically, our view has been that it's the responsibility of each CCTLD manager to do that in their own territory. If you look at the way that the CCs should be set up under the GATT principles and RSC 1591, there's an obligation to local internet community, et cetera, et cetera. So we jealously guard that territory by territory situation. So, for example, I would say I come with my Australian hat on, with a view on a particular issue. In order for me to reach that view, I've had to go through the processes. So my board, for example, includes representatives of ISOC AU and so on. There is, I think, a recognition that with the sort of ALAC becoming growing up more and having been not around for as long as some of us, that from a global perspective, there's certainly input into stuff. So when we do, generally speaking, in all but a few cases, when we set up a working group to look at something, we'll always reach out to the ALAC to put somebody on that working group, and usually also to the GNSO to put somebody on that working group. So we are very conscious of the fact that we don't want to be discussing stuff in a vacuum. Our meetings are always open; anyone's welcome to come. So.
And Chris, maybe this is Jeff Newman, Newstar, the Registry Stakeholder Group. Maybe you also want to talk a minute about the CCNSO also has a limited scope of policies that they would look at as opposed to the GNSO, which is much broader. And so I don't know if you want to...
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. We take a very, very, very limited view of what it is that we're there to do. It's the global... policy that affects CCTLDs is very, very narrow. So the best example, and in fact the only example I think to date really that would fit into that specifically is the IDN CCTLD situation, which clearly sits in the CCNSO purview, and the delegation and redelegation stuff, because that's all about, for us, it's all about CCTLDs. The other stuff we do is to do with talking about to each other about best practice and exchanging ideas and so on. But from a policy point of view, it is a very, very narrow area that we work in.
Any further questions? So perhaps I can just explain the way the GNSO Council is structured. And it's less of a homogeneous body than Chris has just described for the CCNSO, because of people, as people have been mentioning, we do represent a great many different types of stakeholders. So we have a council of that's split into two houses, and the structure that we're looking at now is actually the product of an extensive restructure effort that has been going on for the past 3 years, and the council has changed during that time to reflect some recommendations that came out of previous work, and
to try and better represent the nature and the diversity of the stakeholders that are in the GNSO as a whole body. So the council has two houses. One is for the non-contracted parties, and that means obviously those people that do not have a direct contract with ICANN. So in the non-contracted parties house, we have some stakeholder groups and some constituencies. The difference between those two types of entities in the old structure, we just had constituencies, and stakeholder groups were introduced to as a kind of way of going one level above what we had before and grouping people of similar interests together. So we have two stakeholder groups in that house, the commercial and the non-commercial stakeholder groups, and within them, within the commercial stakeholder groups, we have some constituencies, the commercial and business users constituency, the intellectual property interest constituency, and the service and connection providers constituency. The non-commercial stakeholder group does not have constituencies at present, but some may be forthcoming. There is the NCUC, sorry, Mary, sorry. So the non-commercial users constituency, which is the only one in that group at the moment. On the other side of the house, of the council, sorry, we have the contracted parties house, and there are two stakeholder groups within that house, the registries and the registrars. How are councillors elected to the GNSO council? So each group will elect in their own way councillors to sit on the council, and taking the example of my own stakeholder group, the registrars, we elect three representatives on the council, and those are chosen according to the ICANN regions. We also have on the council three people that are nominated by the nominating committee. One sits in the contracted parties house, one sits in the non-contracted parties house, and one is what we in a jokingly way we refer to as the homeless NCA, because he does not have a vote on our council. So those positions actually are subject to change every year, and what tends to happen, this is still a relatively new system, remember, what tends to happen is that the NOMCOM appointee that sits in the middle will rotate after 1 year, and that tends to give that person coming into the council time to learn its ways and to learn the kind of work that we do on the GNSO council. We also have two observers. We have the CCNSO observer, and we have an ALAC liaison. So that's the main structure. Just a word to tell you that each house nominates a vice chair. So we have two vice chairs. Mary Wong over there is the vice chair for the non-contracted parties house, and Jeff sitting next to me is this person here, is the vice chair for the contracted parties house. And the council as a whole elects the chair for a one-year term. So in December, the council elected me to serve as chair for this year. Happy to answer any questions, and if any of the groups want to speak up and add to the explanations I've just given, please do so. If not, we can move on to the next topic.
Don't seem to be any questions, so yeah, we can. All right. So the next, is this working? Can you hear me? Hello. Okay, it is working. So the next topic on the agenda is. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. Sorry, Bart. Thanks. There are some slides available if you're interested. We can send them out, which do a comparison of the GNSO policy development process to the CCNSO policy development process. They're too lengthy to go into now, but I think it would probably be quite useful for everyone to get a copy of those so that you can see there are differences in the way that the PDPs actually work. And that's useful from the point of view of when we're involved in one of yours, or you're involved in one of ours. It's actually quite useful to see that there are differences. So, Bart, we can organise that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So, the next one is what's the CCNSO currently working on, and which of the projects do we think that there's a link with you on, and vice versa? What's the GNSO working on, and which of these projects will need feedback from us? So from the CC point of view, currently the major things are as I've already mentioned, the delegation and redelegation work. If we get consensus from the members tomorrow, we will be setting up a new working group, the FOI, the Framework of Interpretation. The purpose of this working group, it'll be a joint working group with the GAC, in the same way that the fast-track working group was a joint working group. And the idea of that is simply to, and I use the word simply, probably inadvisedly, is to provide the board and the staff with some guidelines on the interpretation of 1591 and the GAC principles. If you're interested in that sort of thing, the reports of our delegation and redelegation working group that made these recommendations are worth reading. They go into a great amount of detail about the history of this and how we've ended up where we have. So there's that working group, and we will, as is our standard practice, I think, be asking for the GNSO to provide at least a liaison to that working group. I mean, it's entirely up to the GNSO, but our recommendation is normally that if they can do it, our ALAC liaison will be on that working group liaising for ALAC and vice versa for the GNSO, but that's a matter for you. We also have we have a study group that we've set up for country names, which you're involved in, and you've got, I think we have some volunteers, or we will have some volunteers shortly. So obviously that's a key area of cross interest for us. We haven't yet finalised, but we will hopefully finalise in the next day or so the cross community security and stability working group. Again, we're just finalising volunteers for that, and we'll get that moving. Have I missed anything, Leslie, Byron, that you can think of that's of any real relevance for the GNSO? Funding, yeah. That's right, thank you. We have recently formed a finance working group to deal with the financial aspects of CCTLD's interaction with ICANN. And one of the areas that we'll be looking at is obviously contributions to ICANN. There's no secret that this is a really tough area for CCTLDs. We had a meeting with ACRAM yesterday. The Finance Committee had a meeting with ACRAM yesterday to start the ball rolling. And one of the things that makes it difficult, and perhaps you guys will just innately understand this, the contracted party side of the GNSO is contracted to ICANN to pay money. So as a formal contract, you pay money to ICANN, and that is effectively the only income that ICANN can guarantee to get. I mean, we might go up or down, but that is its core income. The CCTLDs pay a voluntary contribution to ICANN. Now, we can discuss the quantum, that's a different discussion, but the fundamental principle is that the CCTLDs pay voluntary contribution. It is very, very hard to mix those two things together to try and come up with what is a sensible voluntary contribution, because ICANN cannot rely on the CCTLDs to contribute to its core operations if the payments are voluntary, which they have to be. So we're working. We acknowledge that there's an issue that needs to be dealt with. We're working very hard to try and find some ways of A, lifting the contribution level, and B, finding a mechanism that That works, but given the key principle of voluntariness, it's pretty hard to do that. But we are working on it. Leslie.
The other side of that, of course, is reducing the costs so that one doesn't have to lift the contribution model.
Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't suggesting that that we shouldn't be talking about reducing the costs. That would be an excellent thing to discuss. Are there any questions from the G's on those areas that I've outlined? Yep, Jamie.
Jamie Wagner from the ISPCP. I have a question on the which is the difficulty. I understand if a CCTLD has no fee, doesn't charge fees for it, its registrants, then it would be understandable that they don't. But I think that as if there is some contribution from the registrants, there should be a contribution from that CCTLD to the ICANN funding, and it could be how can I say that progressive. I mean,
Byron, do you want to take that?
Sure. It might not necessarily address the question specifically, but just for your knowledge, I'm the chair of that particular working group, the Finance and Fundamentally the Contributions Working Group, and we're really just getting started on it. One of the things that I was going to perhaps suggest to this joint session is that on an ongoing basis, since I know it's of interest to this community, is to provide just a quick status update of where our working group is at as we work through the issues. Because as Leslie mentioned, there's a couple of sides to it. One is the what should a reasonable model look like for organizations that while we do all do a common thing, operate a CC, come to it from a number of different positions or points of view. And to try to find a model or models that will be able to address all of those unique environments. That's one side of it. What are the issues? What are the models that might be appropriate? And the other side is, how is ICANN allocating its costs? Do they make sense? Are they spending them in the right places? And having some accountability on the expense side of ICANN that then we can bring back to the CC community and justify fundamentally the contributions that we do make. So it's not specific to your question, but hopefully that gives you some idea of how we're approaching it. And, you know, we'd be happy to provide updates as we go forward.
It's very, very complicated because you've got to look at all sorts of different things. So your point about, you know, if you're not getting money in from your registrants, perfectly valid point. I agree. There are all sorts of arguments. There's the pay-to-play argument. You know, if you want to come play in ICANN, you should pay. Fair enough. We're still, after all these years, we've been pushing for now. I've lost count. 8 years or so, more probably, to get clear on what ICANN thinks it costs to manage to do its CCTLD stuff. And it's unfortunate. What tends to happen is we get a reasonable way down the line with that information, and then something will happen, like they'll change their accounting system and have to start all over again, or you know the finance guys will leave and be replaced by somebody else, and then we're back into relationship building and so on and so forth. The point I was trying to make about the voluntariness of it is to say, you know, really, we're at the baseline of talking about the concept of making contributions. And to find a model that fits or fits most, because you're never going to find a model that fits everyone, but to find a model that fits most is very hard. The message I was hoping to deliver was that we are working on that. We're not ignoring it. Adrian, you had your hand up.
Adrian Kinders from the Registrar Stakeholder Group. I would be interested to find out. First of all, I applaud the effort that is going on to you know, try to work through this issue. I'd be interested to know what is the makeup of this working group that is looking into it. And the reason I ask is we, at least, maybe I can speak potentially on behalf of my constituents, that we feel we bear a lot of the costs here.
94%.
Apparently 94%. Of the revenues, rather, not the costs. And therefore feel like we have an invested interest in your outcomes. Right? All right. Okay, good. I'm actually watching every word I say here, so don't say anything that'll throw me off. With that in mind, and given the working group, is it not worth having a diverse range of input? I'm trying to be tactful.
Do you mean we should have some representation on the working group from outside of the CCNSO?
Yeah.
Okay. So
because otherwise the CCNSO is deciding how much the CC. So
No.
I'm just saying the naysayers could sit there and say, you're in a working group, you say, do you want to contribute? No. Do you want to contribute? No. Do you want to contribute?
Sure.
Hey, let's all not contribute. And we're out. And then, you know, sure. But then the perception could be the other way.
I understand. I understand that. And Leslie, the answer is that I think our view is that this is an intensely CC specific discussion at this stage. We need to go through having said that, we are never closed to outside input, and stuff will be published for comment. And I think, you know, Byron, you said we would provide information. Did I hear you right that we'd be providing updates to the GNSO?
Yeah, I think two things. One is I think it would be helpful if we provided updates so you could get a sense of where we are. At that point, while somewhat informal, this just being a conversation, there's an opportunity to provide feedback. We will also be publishing our activities, issues, potential models, the documents or artifacts of this process along the way, and seeking comment and feedback on those. So I think there will be a time and a place absolutely for feedback into the process from people within and without the CC community directly.
Can I? I have a queue with Alan, Jamie, Jeff, Jonathan, Leslie.
Thank you. What I'm about to mention may already exist. I'm simply not aware of it. But in the interest of transparency, it would be really useful to see a list of all CCTLDs, the number of domains that they have registered, and the amount they are paying to ICANN, either, you know, under voluntary or whatever the terms are. That would be a rather interesting document to see.
It does exist on the ICANN website. I can't point you to the link by memory, but it is very clearly there, and it breaks it down by CC, by number of domains, by annual contribution, and has a historical perspective back to 03 or 04.
That's amazingly quick service for satisfying my request. Thank you.
Jamie was next.
I would like to know if there is, speaking of accountability, the CCNSO has any information on the amount, the CCTLDs are accountable to the CCNSO or to ICANN on how much they earn from the each country, because one may have a policy of not charging anything, the other can charge, it's free, okay, but do they have any accountability to ICANN to show their number, financial numbers?
No.
Only the bulk amount of.
Well, they don't have any accountability to do anything. I mean, the bottom line is that there are 246 CCTLDs. Our 113 members account for something like 92% of registrations, but you're never going to get there's a whole raft of CCTLEs that don't involve themselves with ICANN at all, and none of us, I think, with the possible exception of Australia and Japan, who have contracts with ICANN for historical reasons, have any obligation to provide information, to be involved at all.
Okay, but even with no obligation, there is no voluntary for providing of this information.
Well, I think we pretty much know, roughly speaking, where we all sit in the scheme of things. I mean, I know, you know, that Canada's got, you know, 1.6 million names or something, and you know, I mean, we have a rough idea of where we are, but we're not. There's no reporting. Because you know, the each CCTLD is its own territory.
Even if it's not, accountable, but such an informal way of information could be put.
Well, quite clearly, Jamie. Go ahead, Byron.
I was just going to say, informally, certainly most of the large CCs publish an annual report, making all of our various facts and figures open to the community to see. So certainly, the three of us, at least, that we're talking to you, all produce an annual report where you can see all the revenues. And that's generally the case from what I've seen.
I would say that also the .br publishes. And so I think this would respond for 80% of the...
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks. Jeff is next.
Okay, so this is a question that's come up a couple times at least in the registry stakeholder group, and it's on the IDN fast track and contributions made from CCTLDs as a result of being delegated or applying for IDN fast track. In the final approved process, and I may not be using the right words to describe that, but in the final documents that are out there, it talks about a $26,000 processing fee, and it talks about a prearranged and recommended annual cost contribution fee. And I know those are recommendations, they're not requirements. But I was wondering if, and maybe this is not necessarily for CCs, but any ICANN staff that's here, we've been asking for some details on whether those contributions have been made, not necessarily, you know, kind of anonymized or aggregate details. We don't want to get any sensitive data, but just basically how much has been collected from that and certain, you know, what kind of percentage does that constitute of the CCTLDs and information on the annual fees.
I don't know anyone necessarily has any idea on the CCNSO. I don't think we know. But I certainly don't see. I mean, it's a question for ICANN to provide an answer to. My understanding is that financial discussions have occurred with every new IDN CCTLD. But what the result of those have been, I can't say. I don't suppose there's anyone here who can. No, Bart wouldn't. You don't. No, Bart has no clue. No, Bart's just leaving because he doesn't want to be embarrassed. keep asking. I mean, it's an interesting question.
So I have Jonathan and Leslie.
Hi, Jonathan Robinson with the Registries Stakeholder Group. I think I had a question really that followed on from what Byron said, and I think Byron understood when you were talking about the contribution and cost. Clearly, the contributions an age-old challenging issue, as Chris alluded to as well. But on the cost side, I assume, first of all, that you mean more broadly than simply the costs attributable to CCs. When you talk about costs, you're interested in the costs. And if so, really that's an obvious area of common interest, and it's something to if one's looking for areas of common interest and how and where we might actively cooperate, that's one area of common interest.
Yeah, I think. Presumably, we would all share that interest. We happen to have a working group that's going to take a good hard look at it. during the process, I think we'd welcome your feedback if you have anything to add to it. We also, I think, submit a pretty robust contribution in terms of the actual budget discussion. So we get involved every year, and I don't know if you've been reading it, but the CC community puts forward a pretty robust piece on the budget every year. So there's an opportunity to do it there, but we will certainly be looking at it in our finance working group in a holistic way, but obviously with more emphasis onto what's relevant to the CCs. You know, it's been an interesting discussion with Akram, who's obviously quite new, but in his presentation of the budget, one of our feedback items was, well, how do we submit elements for cutting? And he looked at us, you know, quite surprised, and he had no process or way to do that. In fact, they never actually thought about submissions that would include getting rid of services and trimming the budget. So that's certainly one of the areas that we'll be looking at, and that all feeds into the contribution. I mean, it's two sides, but they certainly inform each other.
Yeah, and that's right. And we have another working group, which is the strategic and operational planning working group, and it's that working group's job to gather input into the strat plan and the ops plan. And I think, I mean, it might pay us to think about the possibility of some sort of liaison function. Do you have a group that looks at the strat plan and the ops plan across the GNSNO, whatever you're called? No. So you only put in individual input into that, okay?
Yeah, the process is actually still relatively new as well. So, to be honest, we haven't structured ourselves around responding to that formally yet, but we do look at it as individual groups.
Did you? And Leslie was next, I think.
I think some of which I was going to say has been said, but let me just kind of cover some points here. It's always been my impression over many, many years that CCs are not looking for a free ride. And sometimes in the comments that we hear from the GNSO, I tend to get that feeling of guilt that we're looking for a free ride. That's not the case. Let me be clear on that. And also CC contributions have risen by over 150%. In recent years, and again that's kind of got lost in some of the dialogue about the dollar signs, whatever. But not all CCs contribute, and not all CCs recognise ICANN or wish to be involved in ICANN, and you know, we're very much aware of that. But many of us do recognise that there are core services that we need, particularly around the IANA function, and that we may be able to find a way of looking at the funding of core services. But also, many of us kind of operate what feels like a mini ICANN at times. And so where does the money go? A lot of the money goes, in my country, towards a mini ICANN with local policy development processes and ensuring that we have local internet community dialogue, etc., operating. Many of us publish accounts and annual reports somewhat more quickly than ICANN seems to have been able to publish its own annual report and accounts for examination. But I do think we must have a common interest on the strategic plan. And if there's one thing I think we could be proud of in the CCNSO in recent years, is how we've been able to coalesce our act together around commenting and contributing towards the strategic plan as a group. And many of us, of course, are involved in strategy in our own organisations, which helps. Because it's no good commenting on the budget being too big or the cost being too high if you haven't contributed to the strategic plan in the first place, either to put new initiatives on the table, which have a cost implication, of course, or to take costs off the table. And one of our big hobby horses, or my own hobby horses, I have to say, is about how we can iterate the strategic plan to both fit with the volunteer capacity and the staff capacity, but also the financial boundaries around that, and so that we can ensure that we're not lumbering all of the communities with a ever-increasing bill of spiralling costs. And I suspect that might well be a common concern that we share, on which we could usefully have some dialogue.
Thank you, Leslie. Adrian's next, I think.
And then Jonathan.
And then I think we should move on to the next topic, because otherwise we're just going to get stuck on this forever. But carry on.
Sure, Leslie. If I gave the impression of laying you with guilt, I apologise. It certainly was not my intention. I think I certainly have, having been in the industry for a long time, have felt it beyond the GNSO. So I think to categorise it as a GNSO, trying to lay the guilt on you is I think unfair. And my only that said, my only comment would then be careful quoting 150%, because 150% of a small number is only a slightly bigger number. Looking at the numbers here, combined between registers and registrars, and you've heard all this before, but just to give it some context to 150%, that it's around about $61 million in the budget for FY11, and for the CCs it's 1.6. So you can round it up to 2. You took the 61 and reversed it, yes. Sorry, I just want to give some context to that. Thank you.
Thanks. Jonathan.
Well, I'd just like to say those two things I've heard sound very positive. The work on the finance and the strategic operation working group, they sound structured, interesting and positive. And I think one thing that strikes me is that the GNSO is burdened with the weight of many things, including extensive PDP work. So I might be clutching at straws here, but if there is a way in which we can leverage that work of yours rather than try and repeat it ourselves with the limited resources we have to do that. You know, you sound like you're doing it in a structured and organized way. And if we could sort of in some way work with you on that, it may be more effective use of resources, since, as I say, we're burdened with many policy development issues.
So that's certainly something worth following up, I think. So now perhaps, I guess you, Stefan, could just take us through briefly what the GNSO is currently working on, and what you think, where you think the CCs might be of interest or of help.
I love your use of the word briefly in that sentence. We have a number of pending projects. I will try and be as brief as I can and open it up to questions rather than just lecture on. So a lot of the work that we've been doing over the past year or two is actually to do with our restructure that I mentioned earlier on. I won't go into the detail of that specifically. It's obviously very GNSO-centric, and it's to do with refining our processes and the way we do things. So I'm happy to answer, I'm sure any of the GNSO councillors present would be happy to answer questions on those. That takes up a lot of our bandwidth. We also are currently working on Who Is studies and looking at various aspects of the Who Is. Currently, there are a number of studies that are in the pipeline. Not all of them. One has been started. This stems from an initial request by the board. I believe the GAC requested it as well. So that is one of the work that we are on doing at the moment. We are also spending a lot of time looking at prioritization. We did have a group work on that last year. It's a real problem for us. And in more general terms, the problem is the workload and how to help both the GNSO volunteers and the staff just stand the sheer amount of work that there is to do. So that's something that we're looking at very intently. We are about to start working on the UDRP, looking at ways that if the UDRP requires improvements, and if it does, what are the ways to improve it? We are also looking at registration abuses, and there's a group that's working on that, various aspects of possible abuse. through registration of generic domain names. We were asked by the board in Cartagena to have a look at some metrics to measure consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition within the context of the new GTLDs specifically. We are involved in a number of joint working groups. So we have one, I mean, some of these have already been mentioned, so I'll just glance over them, but we have a geo-regions working group. We have the JIG, which is a joint CCNSO-GNSO working group on internationalized domain names. We have the ESSAC, a working group with ESSAC, looking at internationalized registration data. We also have a working group looking at DNS cert, and the JAS, which is a working group looking at new GTLD applicant support, so ways of supporting applicants from developing countries, for example, so that they may also be part of the new GTLD process. So I hope I haven't forgotten anything. Probably have. But that's a brief overview of the work that we have ongoing at the moment. And please, anyone from the GNSO side, step in and add anything that I've forgotten if I have.
Okay. It strikes me, Stefan, that that certainly in respect to UDRP and registration abuses, we might have some input for you on those. Many of us run our own, either use the UDRP or run our own dispute resolution processes in our respective countries. And registration abuse is obviously something that occurs just as much in, or might occur just as much in the CC world as it does in the G world. So if we can, you know, help in any way or give you some input in any way, we'd be happy to do that. Let's do that. That's okay? Okay. Are there any questions or comments on what the GNSO is working on right now? I like the way you said currently working on who is, as if that was something new that you just didn't. No? Okay, cool. What's the next item, Stephen?
Great. So we wanted to ask you if you saw value in meeting with us. The question sounds a bit blunt, but we felt it was important to just constantly look at the way we do things. And we certainly, I think, I speak for all of us, appreciate the time that we spend meeting with you, because as we've just seen from the conversations we've had, it's at a basic level an opportunity to understand the way each group does things, and I think that's extremely useful. So we also wanted to ask you, you know, if you saw value in the way that in these joint meetings, or if there were any suggestions that you wanted to make that we might look at improving those meetings. So that's it.
Any council, CCNSO councillors want to comment on that? Don't all rush at once. Do we see Peter?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Peter van Roste. I'm the general manager for CENTER, the European organization for CCTLDs. I'm probably just stating the obvious here, but I didn't want the awkward silence to apparently mean anything else. Yes, for me, they are pretty useful, and I think I can speak for quite a few councillors. Obviously, the level... the level of their usefulness will depend from meeting to meeting. Sometimes we have things that are more urgent to discuss, and one of the, I think, excellent examples here is probably the IDN and variants discussions that we had a couple of meetings ago. So sometimes it will go a bit more in detail, but I do appreciate, in any case, everybody's time to make these meetings possible. Thanks.
Thank you. I mean, I'd echo that. I think these meetings are important and will become more important. I mean, you know, if you look at what we've discussed today, we've identified some areas of common interest and a whole heap of other things. I mean, the key to these is follow up. Of course, there's no point just having a meeting. We need to make sure that both of us, both the G's and the C's, you know, institute some follow up on those. But I think that's how we, you know, I think we're pretty clear that this is a very worthwhile exercise. Part of the introduction this afternoon about, you know, talking about the CCNSO Council, one of the reasons why I wanted to do it was to get across to you that there is a fundamental difference. We are not as conflicted, anything like as conflicted as you guys can often be. So for us, it's about getting used to you. When we do talk to each other, we're not necessarily aware of the nuances or the political difficulties that you might have. So you might get a request from us that from us seems really simple, like, why don't we do this together? But for you, that's incredibly complicated. So these sorts of meetings are really important to establish those ground rules and baselines.
We're not conflicted at all. Any further comments on this? I do want to try and get onto the last topic. Perhaps we can move on to that. Is that okay? Okay, so the last topic was just to talk about the NTIA NOI. And obviously that is important to all of us. If you talk about the IANA function, then that's the key to everything that we all do. So I'm sure you'll have some comments on that. I wanted to first of all ask Andrei Kolesnikov to introduce the topic and lay the groundwork.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to initiate the discussion about the notice of inquiry of National Telecom Information Administration, which were addressed to the internet community recently. And as time ticking, we have to give some advice to the NTIA on what kind of items must be included into the agreement between the NTIA and ICANN. At just the beginning of the discussion, I'd like to say that recently, there were many zones was signed with DNSSEC, and it was a big marketing campaign. We were all involved. We saw this. And there was a practical solution and procedure in place which involved the representative from many nations to sign the route with the DNSSEC keys. But practically speaking, and we just faced it a year ago, the historical route management in regards to the TLD operations is still a black box for many minds. I'll explain. If there'll be time, I can just tell the story about the IANA delegation of the recent domain. And there's historically highly politically objective suggestions flying around, but as a matter of fact, I couldn't find much of weighted politically neutral and practical ideas on what to tell, what kind of suggestions to give to NTIA. I was recently researching the internet, scrolling the internet, the ICANN community, trying to find good ideas. We do know from the black box there is a single point of failure, namely root zone operator, and you not mean to say its name, especially in certain countries of the world. Just avoid the questions why. And the root zone operator is not a part of the NTIA and ICANN current agreement, and this means that there is a logical gap between obligations of the ICANN and NTIA and practical operations of the root zone in the interest of multi-stakeholders. Another interesting issue to discuss is particularly related to new GTLDs and initiatives to have more and more GTLDs in the root zone. Is a concern that current automation, or better say manual work with root zone is not good when hundreds of new TLDs will hit the fan. And maybe it will be a good idea to list the technical parameters or any other quality of services in the NTIA agreement, moving it away from statements, because it's pretty much a political statement if you read the agreement. There are some particular parts, but it's not very concrete. Or maybe we just don't know how it all works. and this means no transparency, and there must be some words about the NTIA agreement. Again, we faced it in May when we applied the delegation of the OIDN, and we worked with a black box, to be honest with you. That's for the beginning of the discussion.
Thanks, Andre. So there's not a whole heap we can say to you. I'll throw it open to anyone else who wants to respond in a sec. But where we are right now is that we have a first draft of a proposed CCNSO input into the NTIA NOI. We will briefly discuss that first draft tomorrow, probably. The deadline, as far as I can remember, is the end of March. So during from now until close to the end of March, we will hopefully refine that document and come to a consensus view so that it can go in as a CCNSO document. So with the caveat that this has not been discussed in the CCNSO at the moment, the sort of push of the current draft is to say that given that there is a significant amount of work has been done by the CC delegation redelegation working group, and that there is a new working group coming with a specific purpose of putting colour and depth into the interpretations of 1591 and the GAP principles, that it would be inappropriate to make any significant changes to the way that certainly not to move it anywhere else, etc. While that work is being done, because the whole point is that what we're striving to do is to build some clarity around what are high level policy documents. So that's one thing. I think it may also talk about automation and say that we're in favour of automation. You know, where possible, and let's please get on with that. But at that stage, that's about really all I can say. Does anybody else want to come in on that? Did you want to?
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to ask you guys what your general feel about the document is in terms of what the intent is. Just to remind everyone, this is the first time that the Department of Commerce has put out notice of inquiry on the INF function. That's never happened before, so the timing may be accidental, it may not be, but it certainly interests me personally to hear about the CC from the CCs about your views on what the intent of the document is. Is it just a fact-finding mission, or is there something else?
I would counsel against speculation of motive and concentrate on responding to the document. It's a formal process. Something had to happen. It may not necessarily be ideal, but it is at least an opportunity to put in comment. Leslie?
I was just going to add to your comments, Chris, in that we used to have a CCNSO IANA working group, and a lot of the discussions in that working group were about improving the IANA process, which, if you'll remember, some years back, it took circa an average of 40 days to make a zone file change, which obviously wasn't kind of scalable or acceptable. And so a lot of our inputs may well take the form of some of the learning we had from that working group as to how the IANA process might be managed and measured. And I'm aware that one of the requested areas for comment was about performance metrics. And the timing, well, I'm not going to speculate on the reasons for the timing, but it might be very useful to have some good performance metrics at the stage when we're considering adding considerably to the IANA workload because of the new GTRDs and all that might involve.
Thanks, Leslie. And I'd just add one other thing, which is for those of you that were in the main room this morning, you'll have heard Larry Strickling. And I think that Larry's a really straightforward guy, and he calls it the way that he sees it. And
you know, that was some specific comments, constructively critical comments, but also a very, very supportive position from the U.S. government on the ICANN model, and I would take that at face value because Larry doesn't mess around.
Thanks. Andre, and then John.
Just a quick notice. Yeah, the parameters are very important. Again, if one application goes for some times, which you don't know because you don't get exact date, there is no parameters when you apply for a new TLD or do some changes. And it's very important to talk to Mr. Strickling about it, I believe. And, yeah, he does understand these things. That's true.
Which is Leslie's metrics point, right? I mean, you want to put some metrics in place.
John.
John Berard with the business constituency. A question of a less technical nature, perhaps. We've both councils been asked to comment to the board on consumer trust, innovation, and competition. Have you guys had progress in that regard?
No. a resolution was passed at the last ICANN meeting, I recall, about this. No one talked to us about it. No one mentioned it was going to happen. It just happened. Quite frankly, that's not the best way of doing things. If the best way of doing things is to come to us and say, we'd like you to do something, and can you do it? We currently don't have the time. And to be honest, we deal with it in our own territories. Again, it's something that we deal with on an everyday basis. But this has been seen as a sort of very much a G focused question, and we haven't dealt with it at all. We haven't had any time to do that. For us to do it, we'd have to first of all agree that we want to do it, which is not necessarily the case. I'd say.
Any further comments?
Worth just giving the insight, the response directly to that, Stefan. I hope I'm on the point here, but I mean we felt similarly about it. It came and yesterday we heard that it was urgent but is no longer urgent. Well, it was, to be fair, there was more rationale behind it than that.
Okay.
We pushed back on it given so we had a similar experience given workload and other things going on, and pushed back,
yes.
And then in effect missed the deadline, and now it has become less urgent.
Look, I mean, if what is being sought is input on consumer protection and all that sort of thing, right? And presumably that's being sought specifically in respect to GTLDs, because it certainly wouldn't be being sought in respect to CCTLDs. Maybe the best way to do that is simply to ask the four main constituencies, the four main ACs and SOs, to just see if they can lob a couple of people into a group and talk about it. I mean, we have significant experience in our own territories, so we're happy to help. But the concept that we would go off on our own and come up with advice to the board or input to the board on it makes no sense.
Just I recall the urgency. The urgency was for this budget round, correct?
Yeah,
for this strategic plan. And since we missed that deadline, it's no longer urgent.
Anything further? Chris, should we adjourn early?
Well, it'll give us 10 minutes to walk to get lost and finding the next room, I suppose. Yeah, are there any other comments? Okay, I just want to finish by saying thank you all very much. This is my last meeting as chair of the CCNSO. On Wednesday afternoon, Leslie Cowley will become the chair of the CCNSO, so you won't be seeing me in this capacity anymore, but I've had a ball. So thanks very much indeed, everybody.
And I'll just finish by saying that it's been a pleasure, and it will be a pleasure again. If it's at all possible for GNSO councillors to stay in the room so that we can discuss the statement that you've seen back and forth on the list, Nothing official, but it might be useful if we're all while we're all here. Well, not all of us. Well, what is our meeting? 3 o'clock, isn't it? Those who can stay.